the prophecy of Hosea chapter 14 and the first two verses. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord, and say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. The prophecy of Hosea chapter 14 and verses 1 and 2. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words, and turn to the Lord, and say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. So often throughout God's holy word, the Lord refers to his dear people as Israel, God's beloved chosen children. And here he begins this chapter, O Israel. You know, there are many occasions in God's word where the Lord speaks this. O Israel, or O Judah, or O Ephraim. And it's like really putting it simply, like a little child may do something that is displeasing to its dear mother, and she will immediately say, oh, and then name it. And here the Lord is naming his children. O Israel, you see, he sees us exactly as we are. And he saw Israel here exactly as she was. And she'd been in a very, and was in a very solemn place. And what does he do? He exhorts her what she should do. Return unto the Lord thy God. Why had she got to return? Because she had wandered from him. She had left her beloved God and wandered after sin and wickedness and idolatry. And so he, in his love, addresses her. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. And really, you know, in this dark and solemn day in which we live, we long for the Lord to return. And if he returns to his dear people, he will cause them to return unto him. We read on another occasion, don't we? The Lord says, return unto me, and I will return unto you. And of course, because of her sin, he had forsaken her, and he longs for her to return. And here he gives her that sweet word of commission, really. Not that she could return in her own strength, because she couldn't, nor can you, nor can I. But it was to bring her to consider her standing, return unto the Lord thy God. And oh, may we return unto the Lord our God in our thoughts, in our hearts, in our steps, in our conversation, in our lives, in our walk. What does it really mean? Well, it meant she got to live close to him. She'd wandered from him. It's like a little child may wander off from its mother and she will call it to return to her. She wants it close because, you see, there's its safety. There it can feel her love to it. And think about it spiritually. And it's so been with me since this text dropped in yesterday evening. The great need of living close to the Lord. And when we think of many of our godly forefathers, you know, they lived ever so close to the dear Redeemer. I think in my early days in the ministry, some of the old saints, you know, it was sweet to go and see them and visit them because their conversation, all it was what the Lord had done for them and what a precious Jesus was to them. And they lived so close to him. And here in Hosea's day, he desires, and the Lord speaking through him, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. In other words, come back from all thy wanderings and live close to me. Because there we shall know much of his love, you see. It's much sweet communion with him, fellowship with him. And it's a sacred place when we're near the dear Redeemer. Well, I'll go as far as to say this if I know anything about it in any way. The closer we live to him, the more we shall love him, the more we shall know what it is to have sweet communion with him. You think of dear John, the dear disciple that leaned upon the Lord's breast. You know, he lived ever so close to a precious Jesus. And I would lovingly say it this afternoon, may every one of us be there, leaning upon his breast. It's the safest place you can be, child of God. What are we saying? On her beloved Lord she leans. And you see, for us to lean upon him, we need to be close to him, don't we? You think about it naturally, you know, you cannot lean like a person that's frail and unable to walk on their own, or a little child. It was dependent upon its mother. It leans upon her. It knows the love. It knows the closeness. It knows the sweet affection. And, you know, when we're living close to him, then we shall know what it is to lean hard upon him. On her beloved Lord she leans. In your trials, in your afflictions, in your sorrows. But he reminds her of her solemn state. And I can only be brief with this. But he says, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Thou hast fallen. And you see, this was a solemn state she'd been in. Falling away from the Lord, falling into sin, falling into iniquity. And if we are left one moment, we are just the same. Oh, we are. We're poor fallen creatures. And we fall every hour and every moment. Oh, we do. In our thoughts, in our words, in our conversation, in our walk, we are prone to fall. And this is why the sinner should lean close upon the Lord, to keep them from falling. What do we read that in that beautiful word that the Holy Spirit has left on a record in the prophecy of Jude, the epistle of Jude, that beautiful word, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and ever. Amen. Beautiful word that is, isn't it? Now unto him who is able. And you see, he was reminding her of how she'd fallen and exactly what to do. You know, if you want any clear word of instruction, what to do, you go to the Word of God. There's everything in it. In 2019, of clear direction, of clear leading, of clear encouragement and comfort. Everything the sinner needs is found in God's Word. And here we have this, where he tells her exactly what to do. He reminds her of her sin and how she's been fallen into iniquity. Thine iniquity, not somebody else. It's easy for people to say, oh, but look at his sin and that sin. We need to examine ourselves. Well, could the apostle say, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, except Christ be in you, except ye be reprobates. And then he says this, take with you words. Take with you words. And turn to the Lord and say unto him, what a mercy it is the poor sinner can take words. What are these words? Well, let's just look into it a little. First, words of heart confession. Take with you words. Words of heart confession of our many, many sins. Oh, you see, it's a heart matter. Take with you words. And turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. Take away all iniquity. He was exhorting her to go to her God who was able to take away all that iniquity that troubled her, or she was brought to feel within. And when we say take with you words, it didn't mean just on the lip. It's easy to have lip confession. The hymn writer said, to see sin smart but slightly, to own with lip confession is easier still, but oh, to feel cuts deep beyond expression. It's feeling the sin and guilt within and truly confessing those sins. He has promised, hasn't he, if ye confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So he says, take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity. Is that your soul's longing and desire this afternoon? Lord, take away all my iniquity, all my sin, all that causes me to grieve before thee. Take it all away. And you know there's some precious words, isn't there, in God's holy word, where the Lord promised to do it. I, even I, am her that blotteth out thy transgressions and will not remember thy sins. Now that's what the Lord has said. And he can take away, poor soul, in a moment, all that iniquity that troubles you. All that weighs you down, all that causes you so much sorrow and anguish before the Lord. Take away all iniquity. Now these are the words that he's commanded them to take. Take away all iniquity. Plead it before him. Give the Lord no rest until he sweetly fulfills it. Take away all iniquity. Notice the wording of it. It's so comprehensive. All iniquity. Not just some of it. You see, the devil will remind us of this sin and that sin and that some other sin. But when you are plagued and troubled by the adversary, there's some precious words in Scripture to silence him in a moment. May the Lord speak them to us. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Not some of it. All the iniquities, all the sins that plague the sinner. He can take them all away. And you know that precious blood, and I speak it with much reverence. May we have sweet meditation upon it, not only at the Lord's Supper, but as we go on our way, that precious blood, you know, can cleanse the blackest, the vilest of sinners of all sin. And it still has the same power in 2019 as it did in the day when the dear Saviour shed it at Calvary, that precious blood. The hymn writer said, it shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. Take away all iniquity. Now let me come right down to where we are. Is that your prayer this afternoon? Lord, take away all this iniquity. All this sin that troubles me, that weighs me down, that causes me so much sorrow. Take it all away. Why? Because you want peace in your soul, don't you? And there's no peace without pardon. Peace flows from Calvary. I often quote it, but it's a beautiful hymn, that 925, isn't it? This glorious man, thy peace shall be. And through him taking away all our iniquities, we shall know that peace. And we won't be able to describe it, poor soul. It passeth all understanding. And then he goes further. And receive us graciously. And you know that's what the Lord will do to repenting sinners. You think of the dear publican, how the Lord received him graciously and sent him to his house justified rather than the other. A pardoned sinner. One that knew his sin so much within, and yet the Lord had taken it all away. As he pleads and begs for mercy. Oh, take with you words. Plead the words, what the Lord speaks before him. That's what I love so about the promises of the Lord. You can take them back to the Lord and plead them before him, poor soul. You can go back to the Lord and say, Lord, thou hast said thou wilt do this. And what he has said will never return void. And you can plead it. Think of the publican's prayer. It's left on record for the encouragement of God's dear children. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, I'm that black sinner. Have mercy on me. And when he does, poor soul, like he did the publican, you'll know what it is for him to receive you graciously and receive us graciously. Nothing, Lord, that we have done, but because thy grace is free, oh, do grant it to me. Free grace to every heaven-born soul. Now, what does this really mean? And receive us graciously. Well, the margin tells us, give us good. He longs for that good to come from heaven, but you know, there's another, a better, really sacred meaning than that. Lord, do favour me with thy grace. You see, grace is absolutely free. It's God's free, unmerited favour to sinners. Oh, it is. Receive us graciously. And when you receive graciously, it's lovingly, and it's known and felt in the sinner's heart. And then, of course, he closes with it in a beautiful way, really. So will we render the calves of our lips. He got something, you see, here to praise the Lord for, hadn't he? And, oh, that our lips, and when it says our lips, you see, it doesn't just mean the lips naturally speaking forth the praise of God. It means our whole heart. As the sinner prays from the depths of their heart, so they will sound forth their praise from the depths of their heart. And oh, what a wonderful thing when we can truly sing, praise God from whom all blessings flow. The doxology, you see. And have there not been a few times where he's pardoned your iniquity and he's received you graciously, and all your soul wants to do is love and praise him more? Give him all the glory. You know, the benefit is ours. But the glory belongs to the Lord. He must have all the praise. It's not unto us, O God, not unto us, but unto thy great name give we honour and glory and praise. It's all unto him that loved us and washed us in his own heart's blood. And then finally, may we be enabled to think of the great cost to the dear Redeemer of taking away all this iniquity that plagues your heart and mine. Instead of us receiving and the Lord's dear children, the wrath of God, it was all laid on the dear Redeemer. He bore all incarnate God could bear with strength enough and none to spare. And you know, if the Lord leads you by faith to view a little of the great cost of your salvation and mine, what'll be the effect of it? If I know anything about it, it'll be this. It'll melt the sinner's heart. You have to say, Lord, why me? Why me? Why hast thou so favoured me to know this sweet pardon within, and how thou hast received us so graciously when all we deserved was thy eternal wrath. And then, oh, the praise that goes forth. So will we render the calves of our lips of praise and thanksgiving unto the dear Redeemer for all he accomplished at Calvary. It's to God be the glory. Well, may the Holy Spirit sweetly apply these precious words to us. I've only scratched around the surface of it this afternoon, but because we got the ordinance to attend to, I'll leave it for your prayerful meditation. But may that precious word of the text, it was very sweet to me last evening, life and power, because in it is everything you need as you venture on in life's journey. And the soul that seeks it will find the blessing in God's time and in his appointed way.